Hey, thanks for joining us for another episode of Triple Play. Lots going on, so please continue to
like and subscribe.
Yes, and we're seeing a big uptick. We've been gaining about 100 to 200 subscribers a day.
What else? You can like and subscribe and
share.
Comment and share. What else can you do on?
That's about it right now.
All right.
So continue to do that. Also, if you need any financial planning, make sure you reach out to Resource One and Andy McCollum and his team at 636-458-1798. So we love to help those that help us. And lastly, CS Design does the opening, the closing. You're going to see a website here shortly. We're working on that fast and furiously.
Under construction,
but not much longer. I mean, we got a lot of things going on, and I think people are going to like it when it comes out, then we'll continue to grow it. So that'll be a resource to get to a lot of different things that we're looking to do, such as Twitter Spaces. They'll be able to get to the notes I've been putting out on Substack, and so they'll start to see lots and lots of stuff that is coming along. We're going to try to get some other folks to contribute. So keep liking, subscribing, and sharing for us and getting the word out. And thank you for those who are. We're not noticing that. There are definitely some more balls going to be going out here very shortly. And might even have to get a couple footballs to hand out too, and get Andy to sign a few of those footballs. So anyways. Next week, a lot of good people we're going to have in studio. So right now, we got Trace on Tuesday, along with Andy. So we're going to have a full house on Tuesday.
Triple Play.
Yeah, Triple Play with all those guys. And then on Thursday, we got Kyle coming in. Following week, we're going to have Dave's Racing in here to talk about the street racers.
I think I would have been a good race car driver.
Yeah.
If I could go back, I would go back and do some go-karting to see how I did.
Well, this guy, it's a fascinating. If you haven't been to Dave's Racing Channel on YouTube, check it out. I highly recommend it. My kids love it. They've been kind of checking it out here and there, and there's some really cool, like, vehicles. And I've always found it, you know, like, I like the Fast and Furious. I think racing is absolutely awesome.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever been to drag racing? Like a Route 3, or what is that called?
I haven't, but he has them on his channel. He does street racing and drag racing.
Like the nitroglycerin ones, like the...
I'm telling you, man, go to this page and you can check it out. He's got it all.
If you're looking for something to take your kids to, that is incredible.
Well, there you go. Well, we're gonna learn more about that. That's just a little ways away too. We're gonna have Dave in here and talk about his channel. Talk about some of the top people to be watching and paying attention to, and maybe learn a little bit about the art of it. I am absolutely ignorant when it comes to it. I just enjoy it when I do see it. When I see a clip or something comes my way, I tend to like it. I do like to go to races. I've been to the Indy 500. I've been to several races over the years, mm-hmm. but.
It's incredible how much science goes into it.
Absolutely.
Oh, it's crazy.
Well, and tooling them up when you're talking about street racing or the drag racing. So,
yeah.
I mean, just this really interesting stuff. Mm-hmm. So, all right. Well, all that said, let's get into our lineup today. And kicking it off, it's going to be a fun one today, because this guy keeps, like, it's funny, he'll disappear for a while and then he just kind of pops on up.
It's very polarizing, so
yeah
he opens his mouth, it's
people pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
So we got Colin Kaepernick. Have you heard what he said?
Yeah
So he had an interview. He's putting out a graphic novel, and in his interview he started talking about his parents. Mm-hmm. And decided to kind of basically blame them for some of his, he basically calls them, for lack of a better word, I'm going to call it an unintentional racist. You know, like, you're calling your parents out on racism. And so at this point, my question is there anybody he hasn't called out?
Well, listen, let's start with his graphic novel. Okay. This is supposed to portray what he feels on a daily basis.
Okay,
so let's just get in, and he chose a high school version of himself. So somewhere deep, like his subconscious, he still views himself as like a immature kid,
Well, if you listen to him talking, he sounds like an immature kid.
Yeah.
So he doesn't talk eloquently.
That's weird to begin with, right? You're trying to portray to in a book, in a graphic novel, who you are, well, and you choose a high school version. That's weird. I think that's a little bit weird.
Well, especially for his age. I mean, he's in his 30s now.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
If you think about a guy like that, I'll tell you what he reminds me of. He reminds me of the guy who can't ever get past high school. High school was peak of his life. Which is really strange when you think about a guy who went to the Super Bowl. But apparently that wasn't the peak of his life. The peak of his life was going to high school. I wonder, you know, one of the things, have you watched his career or have you watched his transformation? So maybe did you see, you know, it's kind of interesting because he was not this way when he was out there initially with the 49ers and playing the quarterback. It was kind of when his career started sliding. He started dating that activist radio announcer out of New York. And then it seems like she kind of took him down this pathway of everything's black and white. And,
he bought into the philosophy, the way of thinking of critical race theory.
Yeah.
And so if you boil down, in which they have, I mean, there's, you can research this. When you boil down critical race theory, cis white Christian men ought to be eliminated.
Yeah, they're definitely at the bottom of the totem pole.
They should just be eradicated from society. And so it's no surprise. I mean, in the news, I don't know if it was like a month ago, but there was a mixed girl giving a eulogy at her white father's funeral, and she was berating him as a racist, and the man was dead.
No, I hadn't heard that.
So you're going to start seeing this is not going to be abnormal here in a short period of time. People are – it's just what it brings out is a hatred towards white people,
white
men especially.
And a disrespect. You know, there's – when you mention like the funeral, I mean that's – a funeral is usually one of those times where unless you've got something where, you know, maybe the guy beat you or something like that. But for the most part, most times you keep your grievances at that point quiet. There's nothing more they can do.
And okay, so of all the things, okay, so he is accusing his adoptive parents. I assume they're both white.
Yeah, they're white. So the story is he was born mixed. His mother decided to have him, and we don't know who his father is, and she put him up for adoption, and this couple had lost a couple of sons, and so they adopted him. They'd already had a few kids before him that were natural, and so they adopted him, and for the most part, they supported him, even when you can tell at times, you know, through the body language and the way that they've worded different things. You kind of see through the tea leaves, they were supporting their son with the kneeling, but they weren't all in on it type of deal. You can kind of at times see that. And now you've got him kind of throwing him under the bus a little bit.
So of all the things that you could bring to light to society, to the public, to paint your parents in a negative light, which is what he kind of wants to do, just kind of.
Which I think he's trying to make money.
Okay, but of all the things, the one thing you pick is that they didn't let you have a hairstyle.
Yeah.
That's the worst thing they ever did to him?
Apparently.
As far as being racist.
And that was racist.
I mean, my dad didn't want me to
have a mohawk,
bleach my hair when I was younger. My dad didn't want me to have tattoos when I was growing up. Was he being racist towards me because my mother's Syrian and he's full white and like. What are you kidding me? You kidding me? That's the one thing that you pick.
Well,
bring some noise if you're going to accuse your parents of racism after they raised you for 18 years and continue to raise you.
Yeah, I'm sacrificed everything for him to become a professional football player. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of cost and time and energy they invested in him over the years because football's not cheap to play, not cheap to go to get acknowledged and to do the things he's done. Skill will get you so far, but you still got to have, especially even at that time, you didn't have quite the internet like you have today where kids get it, you know, it's kind of seen in high school even a little bit quicker now. Back then, more scouting, more that kind of stuff. I agree. And the thing I also found interesting along the same line, because it came out this week, was did you read the article coming out? I think it was in the LA Times. It could have been Washington Times, but it was about LA. One of the Times put out an article, and the article blamed white people for pollution.
Yeah.
I thought that was very interesting. I mean, you're like, is there anything left that white people haven't done? It's like you're born white, you're in trouble, which is really funny because that to me is kind of racist too. I mean, you look at me and you quickly make a thing that I'm white, but
skinhead too.
Yeah.
You're a white skinhead.
But my grandmother ran away from the reservation.
Yeah.
I mean, my great, great, great grandmother walked the Trail of Tears. I mean, my dad grew up so poor that if I showed you the shack, I should put it on sometimes so people can see. My dad grew up in a shack. I mean, he didn't have running water. He had an outhouse in back, dirt floors. This was not, he didn't grow up with any privilege. My dad had to go to ROTC to put himself through a 2-year trade school.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not.
No, he's immature, and some of that is on his parents. Like they raised an immature person.
Yeah.
But I mean, if that's the, like, you can't work through that mentally, emotionally, like you can't work through that one time that your parents didn't let you have dreads.
Well, but you're talking about a guy. When did they tell him that? High school.
Yeah.
Where was his life? His peak life? It's apparently must be high school. He has never left high school in his brain.
Yeah, it's just sad. I mean,
let me ask you, when people leave high school, what is the normal? I mean, you went to baseball, but you still understand what is the normal, like, routine of life, okay? So for most people, it's one of two options, right? What is it?
College or
start a career.
Yeah, start a career.
You start working towards finding
grade school, something.
Yeah, grade school, or you might try something. Trade school. Yeah, trade school.
Yeah.
And you might try something like going to different jobs and working your way up, finding out what you like. Some people don't go to school or anything like that, but they just start working. You know, they work at a fast food place, find that thrilling. Then they find maybe insurance or, you know, they tinker and find something that leads to a career. What's the point of that?
To be your own man.
Oh, to a guy to be their own man and to kind of leave mom and dad's house underneath their wing a little bit, right? You start to see that independence. They usually start to get their first apartment, right? Maybe get some roommates, mm-hmm. whether they're in college or they're doing a career. Then the next step would be, okay, you graduate college. You kind of established your career, what you're going to do if you're on that track somewhere in there. If you graduated college, you're kind of going back a little bit and you're starting to figure out your career, okay, a little bit. And usually somewhere near you start to
date.
Yeah, you're probably already dating, but now that dating process, somehow in America we've changed the dating process. So we tend not to be dating in the younger years for marriage, which I think is a big mistake. And we tend to do that after or during college. I think that is a mistake in society, but we tend to then date, and dating is with the purpose of
getting married,
finding the right spouse, and then getting married has a purpose of
having children,
and having children is a purpose of
passing down your way of life.
Yeah, passing down your heritage, your cultural stuff. So. Yeah. So all that has – God created all that with a purpose, right? Everything's very intentional. God put this all together very intentionally. And I think when you start taking it out of whack, which is where you got Colin Kaepernick. I mean, is he married? Does he got kids? Yeah. I mean, you're looking at a guy who hasn't gone through this process. So is it really surprising that this is a young man in his 30s who's still living in his high school years and acts and talks as such, probably? You know, from what I can tell, his body language and just the things he does comes across as somebody who is in high school or going right into college. I mean, and he's 10 years past that now. So
yeah.
Just watch him on TV, listen to him talk. And this is not a knock against him, but it's like he's not made a natural progression into maturity.
Right. And he might be working through that, and he is coming to terms with some things that he feels did not go the way he wanted to or should have gone when he was in high school or when he was growing up. That's fine if that's...
Yeah, but you don't do that in a public in a graphic novel,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. That's where I'm... Like, you read that, and it's not like a badge of honor. It's not like how brave he is, not like how messed up his childhood was. It doesn't shed that much light on who he is now. Like, it's just... When I read that, I was like, man, that's embarrassing.
Yeah, exactly.
If I was talking about my parents in my early to mid-30s, like... It just is embarrassing.
And that's the complaint you got?
Well, it's just there's no shame. He has no shame. He has no respect. He has no, like, pick your adjective.
Well, it's a maturity, right? I mean, it's a maturity. You mature, and in maturity, you tend to have better ways of saying or handling things. And that is one of those things. I mean, we deal with family in private. You don't put that out in public like that.
Yeah. And okay. So if you move on too,
I mean, really, I mean, hair.
Well, I know, but if he's saying his parents had racist tendencies, like, okay, so like, would you admit to the fact that you're an opportunist and you're using your parents and how you were raised for personal gain?
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's like
yeah, know. No, buddy,
I know I'm messed up and I'll probably do some things that people scratch their heads at, but.
Yeah, but again, he's doing it with forethought and bringing it out into the public sector. And I think that's what's different about what you're talking about, you know? So,
yeah.
All right. Well, let's jump into our next thing for our lineup, which is March Madness. March Madness. So we got March Madness. March Madness is going, basically they make the announcement this Sunday. Any favorites that you like?
Well, you so kindly.
As, yeah. Right now you got
producer
the
of the show produced some information for me.
Yeah, so like the number one, everybody, from what I can tell, everybody's like really hip on Alabama.
Yeah.
Houston, number two. Purdue, Kansas. And then Arizona, Baylor, UCLA, Tennessee, and Virginia. So, and then it kind of goes from there. I mean, a lot of the same ones you always hear, Marquette, Gonzaga. A lot of those guys are still up there, a little higher this year on a few of them than they were maybe in past years. So
I think one of the cooler things about March Madness is that I think would be doing a disservice if you didn't take into account a school's history in the tournament.
Yeah.
I think that plays a huge factor. I mean, I'm just looking at like a Kentucky down at 40, 10th in the SEC, like not having a great year, but they have history and so a coach can use that. The players know that.
Yeah,
they turn the page. Hey, that wasn't who we were this year. Let's show them. So
that's the thing about the tournament, right? I mean, you're also seeing that. We're going to get into that the next thing, but with the World Baseball Classic, because it's not seven games. It's not, you know, it's one game.
Right.
Giving it all you got.
Yeah.
And if you leave it all on the court, you just may beat the guy who's ahead of you.
Mm-hmm.
And so some of these teams are going to surprise. Do you have somebody you think is going to surprise in the tournament? Is there somebody that you're happy with? I always, born in Arkansas, I always cheer Arkansas. So, Woo Pig Suey for me.
You and my sister-in-law, Woo Pig, Woo Pig.
But there's some good. I mean,
I'm looking down the list. I'm trying to answer your question, but I want to give you a solid answer.
And I think of a team like Duke, who traditionally does really, really well, but now the historic coach is retired. I mean, this is going to be a different year for them. So it could also be a fun year for them.
Gonzaga.
Mm-hmm.
Gonzaga.
Yeah.
I think they're going to do well.
I think so, too. They've got some talent on that team, too. There's a few on here that I'm looking at. Miami, you know, again, they made some noise last year. I could see them creeping up again this year. They build on last year's success. I think a lot of those guys stayed from last year. Kansas, I mean, even though they're already highly ranked four, you know, Kansas lights it up at any given moment. You know, they're a team that you gotta cheer and gotta pay attention to.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Is it really possible for a tiny tweak to your morning coffee routine to ignite your metabolism and put your body into fat-burning mode for the rest of the day? Yes. Thanks to Java Burn, a proprietary formula that, when combined with coffee, is scientifically proven to increase the speed and efficiency of metabolism to deliver unparalleled fat-burning energy. Java Burn is tasteless and instantly dissolves in your coffee. The result? Fat melts off your body. Send your metabolism into overdrive with Java Burn now by clicking the link in the description of this podcast.
Man, it's crazy how consistent some of the top programs are in their given sports.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's crazy.
Well, they build a reputation. Kids know what they're going to go to. And, you know, they know this school is going to be built around wrestling. This school is built around volleyball. This school is built around football. This team, you know, this school is built around basketball. Occasionally, if I own a school that has maybe two sports that they're really good, football, basketball, or baseball, soccer.
I think some of the, what are they called? Name, likeness, NL. What are they, those little contracts they can do now? Name, likeness. That they can get paid for.
Yeah.
I think one of the unintended consequences of that is the parity that it created, or more parity in sports. I mean, you look at Alabama, I think there's an argument that they were probably one of the best at paying their players under the table, and now that players can choose where they go and get paid without fear of...
Yeah.
There's some parity going on, I think, so...
Well, we'll have to see. I definitely think that you're right there, and I think, but I also think the name means a lot. The coaches mean a lot. I mean, you know, certain coaches, good leaders lead.
Oh, and it's and yes, and people. Especially with young men that are impressionable, 18, 19, 20-year-olds. I think a coach
when you were playing in pro sports, who were the main coaches? You had Mattingly.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I would say.
What did you have?
The major league coaches, I think, they're not as impressionable. You kind of already are in the big leagues. They're an established person. They, you know,
right.
It's not that intimacy that you have with, let's say, you know, when I was in Double A with Carlos Subero, very great coach. You know, I was 23. I had him for 3 years, and so we were on a bus together for 8 hours. We were in the locker room together, like, so those are the type of coaches that leave a mark. I mean, I would imagine same thing in college. Those guys are around those coaches all the time.
Gotcha. Yeah, that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. I was just kind of curious to how.
Yeah, I mean you think about, like, when these guys get to the NBA, you think they're eating meals and hanging out with their coach? Not as much.
Not as much, but I think a coach can make an impression or takes a young guy underneath his wing, you know.
Absolutely. But at that professional level, that should have already been done, I think.
Okay.
I'm not saying there isn't anything there and there aren't influential.
Right.
But
just
it's more so with younger men.
Gotcha. Oh, and that makes sense, too. More impressionable when you're younger, too, right? You're a little more established as you get a little bit older. So, mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's move on here. This is one I'm really excited about because I've been watching these, and we've had a few games now. The World Baseball Classic, winners and losers, surprises and duds, as I like to call them. I have been, so two games in Cuba, two losses. I was shocked. What I didn't understand was.
I was not shocked.
You weren't?
No.
I was shocked until I realized who the Netherlands had. They're good.
Yeah.
They Xander Bogaerts, come on.
They have talent.
They got a lot of good talent. I didn't see anything about it. You know, I guess they were more a lot of the players on that team. I mean, Xander's not he's not a big speaker, you know, or kind of like a Paul Goldschmidt. He just, you know, he just kind of shows up. Yeah. And they're not flamboyant. So I just didn't know he was even on the team. And then, you know, you put a guy like that on the team with a couple of the other guys they've got. And they're legit, man. That team is a very, very legit team.
Do you want to know why I wasn't surprised that Cuba lost?
Why is that?
Well, okay. So they played the World Baseball Classic 4 years ago, right?
Yeah.
They didn't do well the last time around. I think the last time that they did well was like.
The one before?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think the reason is because Cuba was opened up to Major League Baseball about 8 years ago.
Gotcha.
And so all the best Cuba players have now had a chance over the last 8 years to come and be in the big leagues. And so you think of the Cuban national team, they're not as talented as...
Yeah, they were at one point.
Right.
Okay.
So that was my thinking going in and leaving him out of the...
Until I talked
top,
you into it.
The top four.
Yeah, well, another one that surprised me is China losing twice. I mean, you know, in some ways it surprised me, some ways it doesn't. Japan, very dominant so far. Man, I have to say, I've just enjoyed. Have you watched any of the highlights or have you watched the games at all?
I watched Team USA beat up on the Giants. It was like a spring training experience.
Yeah, that was the and the Cards played somebody yesterday, but not the actual. Yeah, tomorrow starts that
they play at like midnight sometimes.
Yeah, so tomorrow the Cards play at 9 o'clock at night.
Okay,
so it's Arizona. So we'll to these have all been the Asian ones that kicked off first, and then the Arizona and the Miami ones kick off this weekend on Saturday. So. For those watching here, let me put this up here because I just want you guys to be able to see a reminder what the tournament style is. So I just put up the tournament style so they can see the whole.
There's a lot of colors.
There is a lot of colors, but there's a lot of, you know, you got four different areas that's being played. You got a lot of groupings. So
east west.
Yeah, and if you go to the MLB website, they've got a link for each game throughout the day, and you can also hit streaming, and it'll take you to where it's being streamed or where you can watch it. And
that's cool.
Yeah, it's. I will say that I have either watched or seen all the highlights of, like, people have been putting like a 10-minute highlight reel of that game, almost every game so far. So I've enjoyed immensely watching. I love baseball, and I love these games because I love it when nitty-gritty players, especially some of these guys, they're never going to get ever seen again, you know, from some of these teams. But they're going out there and they're playing against Major League Baseball players, and they're giving it everything they got. It is, to me, it reminds you of the Olympics a little bit of, you know, some of these underdogs, they're not going to get a goal. They're not going to be on that final. But it's still fun to watch them give everything they got on that track field or doing what they're doing. And to me, that's kind of the fun part of the World Baseball Classic is watching. Even a team like China, I'm not a big fan of China, but watching these guys go out and play really hard and try to do something for their country, try to represent and bring back.
Have you heard the horns?
Oh, yeah.
Do you have an opinion on those?
Do I? I mean, it's the Olympic style, so, I mean, no, I have no problem with it. I think it's fun.
Okay. I have a different opinion, but I get annoyed when the rebuttal is, like, if I say, oh my goodness, that horn is so annoying. And then somebody will say, like, you know, you're not culturally accepting, and, you know.
Why is that not culturally?
I've seen it on, like, on Twitter. Like, there's a guy named Codify. He's got
So
if there's dissension about the horns, that's where they jump. And it's really annoying. I've played with horns in the background, and it's annoying.
That I can agree with. I can see why a player would not like it and would want it not to be on there.
What about the guy sitting right next to him?
I can see why that person would be annoyed, too.
Or 100 feet around the guy.
Hey, trust me. I get that part. But on the other hand, when I go to when you see Olympic games, a lot of times you hear those in the crowd, too, at the Olympics games. So, to me, it's the World Baseball Classic supposed to have the Olympic feel to it. To me, that's okay. I wouldn't want it at an MLB game, but then a World Baseball Classic, it's kind of more of an Olympics-type style, and that's what they're trying to draw in.
Yes.
And
I understand.
But I get what you're saying, too.
I understand all of it. It doesn't
change the fact that it's annoying.
The fact that it's an annoying sound. An annoying sound.
I think it's funny because the other day I was at the gym, and after Cuba lost, the first thing Will said at the gym to me, those annoying horns.
Yeah. I mean, the people that say, like, oh, I like the horn, it adds. Okay, well, next time you watch a baseball game and on your couch, I'll just come and I'll just, every time somebody throws it, gets a strike, I'll just blow a horn in your living room.
Get those horns.
And they'll be like, are you going to sit there and go, oh, yeah, that really adds to this? Or are you going to be like, oh, that's an annoying sound, can you please stop?
Yeah.
Right? Okay. Next. I just had to get my opinion out on the horn.
Yeah. You know what we need to do sometime? It got me thinking about opinions. Have you seen the Andrew McCutchen fight video?
No. Maybe. How long ago is this?
This was like...
I need some context.
This was when he was the first year with Philly. He signed, a three-year deal, I think, with him? So it was year one, so it would have been about 3 years ago. So it was before COVID.
Okay.
Okay. He put out, he had his phone with him in the outfield. Uh-huh. And a fight broke up up front. And
on like the front row?
No, like he was in the outfield.
Ah.
Fight broke up up front with one of the players of the Philly, and I can't remember who it was. And it shows him like going up there. He just kind of looks around and grabs a couple guys, kind of pulls him back a little bit. And afterwards he goes, yeah, I was going to go in there. He goes, the thing about being in the outfield is you're never going to be in a fight. By the time you get to the fight, it's over. So you're just there to kind of give support, maybe pull a guy or two off. Mm-hmm. So you jog out there and you jog in and... It was hilarious. I'll have to dig it up and show you after that.
Anyway, I know y'all probably want to know about that brawl last night. So I'm going to talk about it. I was in right field chilling, probably thinking about, you know, my last at bat, or how that pitch was outside and called it a strike and it should have been a walk. But we ain't going to talk about that, right? So I'm looking down at my feet. Next thing you know, I hear the fans. I'm like, what's going on? So I look up. Twig and Honey, they going at it. Next thing you know, I feel a breeze, kind of feel like a light tornado just going right by me. It's the bullpen. I'm like, dang, my reaction time is way off. So I'm like, shoot, let me catch up with these people. By the time I got there, we was all just chilling, staring at each other. Literally, I thought about brightening the mood and I was just going to get in a karate pose. Like, come on. I didn't do it. And that was it. That's basically most brawls, for outfielders anyway. But by the time you get there, it's over. So you just ran and got tired. In an outfield during a brawl is equivalent to a little kid showing up to a birthday party late. It's like you coming in all excited and they already wet and they eating cake. Dang, man, wait. That's all I got. So, that's what happened. What I did.
I think I've seen that.
It is. I was dying. And since you played the outfield, I'm sure you were the same way. Like, I'm all the way in right field or left field. I'm not. There's no way I'm getting all the way down there.
Oh, when there's a will, there's a way, Josh. If you want to be involved in a fight, you can be involved.
You can find a way. Well, Kutch was pretty cool about that. It was fun because you kind of get this personal experience for a bit. It was hilarious.
Yeah. So. There are certain people where if they're fighting you, you're the same way. You're like, all right, time to break it up, guys.
Yeah.
You're just kind of removed from it.
You're safe.